Okay, so let's pick up from the Gemara Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis. We're about 7 lines up from the bottom where it says Yosef Rav Nachman. Yosef Rav Nachman v'Ula v'Abimi bar Papi v'Yosef Rav Chia bar Ami Gabayo. So they're all sitting together, Rav Nachman, Ula, Abimi bar Papi, and Rav Chia bar Ami. And v'Kami Bailu, they're asking the following question. Schara lishbar b'yay nesach mahu. What about the schar that he gets, that a Jew gets for breaking yay nesach? Now what this means is, suppose you have a guy who owns a barrel of yay nesach, and he wants to get rid of it. So he hires a Jew to smash the barrel and to dispose of the wine. So mi aminan, do we say that kivin derotza bekimo, since the Jew wants its existence, he wants the wine to exist because he has a parnasa, because the guy is employing him in order to eliminate this wine. So therefore the wages that he would receive for doing the job are aser. Odima kolomoti tifla shabadami. Or do we say that no, it's fine, the wages that he receives are fine, because he's doing this, he's even though it's rotu bekumo, but lemaisa, it's in order to be memai tifla, to eliminate things that are nonsense, that are literally futile. So maybe the wages that he receives are fine. So Amr of Nachman, or Amr Lahur of Nachman, says to them, Yish bar v'tavol abracha. He should break it, and he should be blessed. And there's no problem. So again, the Yisod of Rav Nachman seems to be that if a person, even though there might be an issue of Rotsu Bekiyumo, there's no issue when it comes to Yain Nesach of Rotsu Bekiyumo if he is being part of the process, if he's participating in the process of eliminating the Yain Nesach from the world. So, Lemasilate, there seems to be a raya to this idea that Rav Nachman is saying. What's the right? From the following brisa, in ojinam ovechavim the climb, you're not allowed to hoe together with a guy in a climb. So suppose there's a field filled with climb, and a guy wants to hire the Jew, let's say, in order to hoe this field. That would be a problem. He's doing that, something that's beneficial for the ground, promotes the growth of the climb. That you're not allowed to do. Avil okrenimo, but you are allowed to uproot together with a guy. Kedei lemute or some have it lemait as a tifla, in order to eliminate the stuff, the climb, the items of nonsense, of futility. So, what do you see from here? So it seems to be, we're going to assume for now anyway, that the Jew is being hired by the guy to eliminate this climb. And you see that, even though if you were to ask him, you know, if you would ask the Jew in the middle of the night, do you want all the climb in the world to be eliminated? He would say, absolutely not, because then I'm going to be out of a parnasa. So even so, it's fine. It's okay for him to participate in being ochre this climb. So that's supposed to be, this is what we're assuming is the pshat in this price. And this is why it's a riot to Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman had this yesod that even when there's an issue of rotsu bekiyumo, it's okay if you're part of the process of eliminating the tifla. So similarly, for Yain Nesach, we would say a similar idea. Savrua, they thought to say that Hamani Rabbi Akiva, that this price is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Or the way the Rashi understands it is that it's even the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Damar ha-makayim a-klayim loka, who holds that if a person is makayim klayim, as is discussed in Tosis and the Gemara Mar Katan, and over here as well, is a little bit of an issue. What exactly means to be makayim? Literally, it would mean to uphold, to ensure the existence of, to maintain in some way. So over here, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that even makayim a-klayim, not just planting climb, not in promoting growth of climb, just being Makayim climb is deserving of Malkus, as a violation of a din d'oraisa. The Tanya, as we know from the Braisa, there's a Tosefta climb that says as follows. Hamanachish v'machapeh b'klayim. If a person weeds a climb garden, or if a person is mechape, he's covering over the seeds of climb, he's covering them over with soil, look, he's deserving of Malkus. That's according to the Tanakama. Now, again, for Menachesh, so we can understand that, because by weeding the garden, you are having kavana, you are promoting the growth of that climb. And similarly, if you're covering over the seeds, that's also going to be a problem. So the Tanakhama holds that would be an issue. Rabbi Akiva Omer Afamakayim, Rabbi Akiva says that you're deserving of Malkus even if you're just Makayim, which according to Rashi, the simple case over here is that you're building a fence, right? There's climb in existence, and you build a fence around it in order to ensure its existence. So what do you see from here? Now, where does Rabbi Akiva get this idea from? My time to Rabbi Akiva. What's the reasoning for Rabbi Akiva? Where does he get it from? Amar Kra. Because the pasuk says, "Satcha lo sizer climb." Now this pasuk, if you take a look in Vayikra, you test. It says, "As chukos haytishmaru behem tacholos Rabbi Akiva." You should not breed your animals together. Now this means to make a mixed breed, right? To breed two non-species together. Satcha lo sizer climb. You're not allowed to plant climb in your field. Ubegad climb shatnez loyal alecha, and you should not wear climb the shatnez, a begad of climb. So What do you see from this pasuk? Says Rabbi Akiva, an interesting diak in the pasuk. My time in Rabbi Akiva. Amar kras satchol lezer klayim. Your field, you shall not plant klayim. Ein li elazareah. This teaches us that you're not allowed to plant seeds of klayim. Mekayim minayim. But how do you know that you're not allowed to be mekayim klayim, to maintain or to ensure the existence of klayim in some way? Like Rashi's case of building a fence around klayim that exists. So, says Rabbi Akiva, Tamul Omer, low climb. Now, the way that some have it is climb sat chalo. The way that you would read it is that when you take a look at this pasuk, it says behem techalo sarbia climb, sat chalo sizra climb. So for some reason, it has the object first in the pasuk and then the subject and verb later. So it's almost poetic. And Rabbi Akiva says, well, why is it being formulated in a poetic way where you sat chalo sizra climb? It should say lo sizra climbs bisatcha or something. Why does it say satcha lo sizra climb? So the answer, says Rabbi Akiva, is that clearly the Torah is trying to lump together the word satcha with the previous word climb. And that the way that you're supposed to additionally read this pasuk to extract another drasha from this pasuk is climb satcha lo. That is supposed to teach you that climb should not be in your field at all. In other words, having climb in your field is a problem. Not just planting climb is a problem, but climb sadchalo. Climb can't be in your field at all. And therefore he says, so tamalam lo climb, that's a problem. Being mekayim climb is a problem. So what do you see though? It's specifically the Torah doesn't want climb to exist in your field. If that's why you're maintaining the climb, it's to keep it in existence. That's a problem. The ilulamati tifla, but if you're just doing it in order to eliminate the climb, shari, then that's perfectly fine. Even though you do want it to exist, but if you're doing it in order to, if you want it to exist so that you can destroy it and get paid for destroying it, that's perfectly fine. That's the chiddush. So, what do you see then? The Chachamim in the Braisa are actually the more lenient opinion, right? They say that in order to be in violation of this pasuk of climb, you'd have to do something active to promote the growth of the climb. For example, weeding or covering over the climb with soil. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you don't even have to do that. You don't have to promote the growth. Even if you're Mekayim climb, building a fence around the field of climb, that itself, it's not as active of promotion of growth of climb as planting the seeds are or as weeding the garden is. But even so, Rabbi Akiva holds that you'd be liable for a din daraisa. So what do you see? How does this play back to us? Because again, we wanted to say that this braisa supports Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman wanted to say that you're allowed to be hired to smash a barrel of yain nesach and be paid for that, even though you're also became what's not a problem. So similarly for climb, we seem to have a braisa that supports this idea. The braisa says you're allowed to be okir together with a guy, you're allowed to uproot climb together with him in order to eliminate tifla, even though you might be getting paid. So the Gemara says, this seems to be Rabbi Akiva's opinion, because Rabbi Akiva holds that Mekayim B'Klayim is a problem, but that's only when you're being Mekayim B'Klayim to continue its existence. But if you're doing an order limut tifla, then even Rabbi Akiva would be makel and say that you can be hired in order to uproot the climb together with the guy. So says the Gemara, no, that's not really true. That's not necessarily true that this braisa about in ojinim ovikachav Mekayim, avil okunim okidei lemayat es tifla, is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. That's not Rabbi Akiva. Hamani, Rabbanan hi. That braisa is really the opinion of the Chachamim, which means then that if we plug in the Chachamim into this braisa, how would it play out? The Chachamim are of the opinion that if you're Menachish or Mechapet B'Klayim, you're deserving of Malkus. So, but if you'd be Mekayim Klayim, according to the Chachamim, they don't care. They don't really have a problem with someone who's Mekayim Klayim. So the braisa is telling you a Chiddush. The braisa is telling you you're not allowed to hoe together with a guy in a climb field, but you are allowed to uproot climb together with this guy. Whose opinion is this? Not the opinion of Rabbi Akiva necessarily, it's the opinion of the Chachamim. Now says the Gemara, wait a second though. The Gemara says, E Rabbanan, if it's the opinion of the Chachamim, Mayir Ya Okren, why would we teach you that the big chiddush we have in our minds is that you can uproot climb with this guy in order to eliminate tifla? Even though you're getting paid, maybe, it's still okay. That's the chiddush. According to the Chachamim, afilo kumi nami shepherd dami. It should tell you, in this price, it shouldn't teach you, you're allowed to uproot climb together with him if you're being paid. It would have been a much bigger chiddush to say, if a guy hires you to build a wall around his climb field, that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine to be hired. And that would be a much bigger chiddush. So if it's the opinion of the Chachamim, that's what the Braisa is the opinion of the Chachamim, then why teach us the smaller chiddush of Okrin? So says the Gemara, Irabana Mayari Okrin, afilo kuminami sharbadami. So the Gemara says, I'll explain to you why. Because, hachav ma'iskinan, kigon teka'avid b'chinam. The answer is that there is a chiddush by teaching you the case of Okrin. Nothing to do with klayim per se, but it's because it's the pin of Rabbi Yehuda that we're bringing out. That kigon da'avid b'chinam, you're working for free. Rabbi Yehuda, it's really the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, da'amar litin lema'an askinim aser, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that normally giving a gift to a guy is prohibited. So the chiddush over here is as follows. That you thought that this price of ein ojin ovechav in the climb aval okinu akedei lemaidas a tifla is a case where the guy is hiring the Jew to help him out in his field. That's not true. It's not a case where the guy is hiring the Jew. The case is where the guy is the neighbor. He's the Jew's neighbor, and he says, "Can you help me out in my garden? And I need help uprooting my climb." So Rabbi Yehuda would normally say, "You can't do favors for Gaim. It's an Isser Darais of Losachanim." But the chiddush is that if your favor is in order to eliminate Tifla from the world, then that's perfectly fine. That's the chiddush. So now, wait a second. Where does this leave us then in terms of the raya for Rav Nachman? Originally, we thought to say that this brisa should be a raya to Rav Nachman. How would it be a raya? If this brisa were a case of rotza bekiyumo, and we're telling you that even in the case of rotza bekiyumo, it's okay as long as you're part of the process of eliminating tifla. So we thought that Rabbi Akiva was the key over here. That Rabbi Akiva holds Makai Maklaim is a problem. Over here, it's okay. As long as it's the Mutti Tifla. And so you see that even though it's Rotz Bekimo, Rotz Bekimo should be no different really than being Mekayim Beklayim to ensure the existence of Klayim. So Rabbi Akiva should be Mekel, and that would seem to be a Raya to Rav Nachman. So now it says the Gemara, and the Gemara said, well, no, not necessarily. This Brisa might be the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim have nothing to do with Rotz Bekimo. The Chachamim are just telling you, you're allowed to uproot the Tifla with this guy. So the Gemara says, okay, but wait a second. How does that work? How is that a chiddush for the Chum? The answer is it's a chiddush because we're bringing out Rav Yehuda's opinion. But then, if that's the case, then that would mean that there's no longer a raya to Rav Nachman's opinion because the chiddush here has nothing to do with rotza bekiyumo. The chiddush over here is that you're doing a favor for a guy and you're allowed to do a favor if it's in order to limut tifla, which has nothing to do with Rav Nachman. So says the Gemara, yeah, but that's not necessarily true. I mean, Rav Yehuda nishma l'Rabbi Akiva. Because the truth of the matter is that from Rav Yehuda's opinion, we can infer what Rabbi Akiva would hold. Lavam Rav Yehuda, asur leitein lema'an askinim. Is it not that Rav Yehuda is saying, typically Rav Yehuda holds, it's asur to give a gift to a guy. So what do you see though? That in Rav Yehuda's worldview, where you're not allowed to give where he holds a chumrah, that you're not allowed to, or an iser, of not giving a matan shulchinah to a guy, avlumati tifla shabridami, but when you're doing it in order to eliminate tifla, it's fine. So Rabbi Akiva nami, so then according to Rabbi Akiva as well, afal gav da'am Rabbi Akiva, a makai makayim loke, that even though Rabbi Akiva would hold that normally makai makayim is deserving of malchus, lumati tifla shabridami, then Rabbi Akiva would hold as well that Lumati Tifla is perfectly fine. In which case, yes, then we do have support to Rav Nachman's concept of when you're rotza bekiyumo, it's perfectly fine. This is Lomidi, and there's nothing else to bother us with. Okay, so says the Gemara. Hadar Yasvi v'kam abayulahu. So they sat back and asked the following question: Tamei avodas kochavim biyad ovekochavim ma'u. What's the halacha when it comes to the money of avodazara in the hands of an ovekochavim? So what is it? What's the case of here? If, for example, you have a guy who sells an avodazara. So we want to know with the money that guy has in possession now, that he received because he from the sale of the Avodah Zarah, what's the status? Is that money asur or not? So if that guy would go into the Jew's shop and buy some candy from the Jew, and now the Jew receives that money, is that asur v'ana or not? Is that considered to be Dmei Avodah Zarah? Or do you say that maybe Dmei Avodah Zarah is something that's limited when a Jew is sells Avodah Zarah, Rachman al Itzlan? So then the money that he receives for selling that Avodah Zarah is Dmei Avodah Zarah, and that's a problem. So that's the Gemara's question. It says, "How do Yashvi come by Lu? The Mei Avodas Kochavim Biad Ovek Kochavim Mahu. Mi Tofeses Dameha Biad Ovek Kochavim. Do we say that it's Tofes Damin when it's in the possession of a guy? Olo. Do we say that when the guy sells this Avodah Zarah, essentially assuming that we're dealing with the Din Darabanan, so then we say that the Avodah Zarah, this Isra Hanav Avodah Zarah, is Tofes Damin. It grabs onto the money. The money that the guy received in exchange for the Avodah Zarah is imbued with Isser, and therefore would be a problem, or not? That's the question. So says the Gemara, Amar Lura Nachman, Rav Nachman says to them, I'll tell you what I think the pshat is. I'll tell you what I think the answer is. Mistavra, it seems logical. It's very compelling to say, Demei Avodas Kochavim, Biyad Ove Kochavim Mutarn, that the money of Avodah Zarah, the money received in exchange for an Avodah Zarah, that's in the possession of a guy, are permitted. Midahanuv, from the following, the Asu, from those, the Asu, the Kamedra Abavavavu, the Rabbi Baravua, from those who came before Rabbi Baravua. That what happened? Armalu, he told them, Zilu Zavinu kol madi isluchu. Go and sell all that you have, this su is gairu, and then convert. In other words, there was a fellow who was a Geisha fellow, and he was coming to convert, and he had a whole bunch of possessions. So Rabbi Bar Avuah advised him to sell all of his possessions, to sell any of his Avodah Zarah in particular, before becoming a Jew. So, my taima, what's the reason for this? And the Bachad's in the word lav, lav mishum de kasavar, de me'avar skochav biyad ovachav mutarin. Is it not because Rabbi Bar Avuah holds that when you have the money of Avodah Zarah, money received in exchange for Avodah Zarah, in the possession of a guy, are permitted? In other words, as long as the guy who's about to convert sells off his Avodah Zarah, and now he puts the money in the bank, that money, now he's going to become a Jew. Well, how is the money okay? The money was received in exchange for Avodah Zarah. The answer is that it's okay. It must be that the Avodah Zarah is okay, as long as it was bidei avodas kochavim, ovei kochavim. So says the Gemara, no, that's not a good raya necessarily. The Dilmashani Hasa, maybe over there it's a different story. The Kivin Tadayte Legiure Vade Bitla. Maybe over there, since the guy was coming to convert, he was in the process of converting, and that's what he had his eyes on. So maybe, therefore, when he sold that Avodah Zarah, he was being mevatel, and that mechira of Avodah Zarah effected a bona fide bittel, which means that the money that he received in exchange for the Avodah Zarah was not demei Avodah Zarah. It wasn't money in exchange for Avodah Zarah, because he was effectively being mevatel that Avodah Zarah. So again, the keeping the dati ligure, since he has in mind to convert, vade bitla, he definitely was mevatel the Avodah Zarah, and therefore the money that he has is not demei Avodah Zarah. So says the Gemara, ela mihacha, so rather, you're right, maybe from here is a raya to answer this question about demei Avodah Kochavim. From the following, Yisrael shahayinosheb ovacham, if there is a Jew who's pressing charges against a guy, and he's suing him or whatever it is, he's pressing charges against the guy for money, he's pressing, and he's pressing him to give him, to pay him money that he owes him, and the guy sells an Avodah Zarah, vehevilo, in order to pay off the debt, and he brings the money to the Jew. Or he sells Yain Nesach, vehevilo, and then he brings the money that he received to the Jew. What's halacha? Is that money that the Jew is going to be given as payment, is that permitted? Mutter, so says the Gemara, yeah, it is permitted. But if the guy says to the Jew, look, I know that I owe you money, please wait a little bit of time, give me a little bit of time so that I can sell this Avodah Zarah, and that way I'll get money and I'll bring it to you. I'll bring you the money that I get in exchange for this Avodah Zarah that I sell. Yain Nesach, or wait for me to sell the Yain Nesach of Avilacha, and then I'll bring the money that I get to you. Aser, that's prohibited. So what do you see from over here? So you see from over here, from the first part of this braisa, that the Jew, he receives the money as payment from this guy. The guy, as long as the guy doesn't tell him, I'm selling my Avodah Zarah in order to get money for you, it's perfectly fine. So when the guy shows up, he sells the Avodah Zarah and brings the money, that money is fine. So you see that the May Avodah Zarah, that's biyad over kachavim, is permitted. So it says the Gemara. Now, parenthetically, once we bring up this braisa, let's deal with it a little bit. Mishnah Reisha, Mishnah Seva. What's the difference between the first case and the second case? Why is it that in the first case, the money that the Jew receives is permitted, and the money that the Jew would be receiving in the second case is aser? Am Rav Sheshes, Seifa Mishum Tehavalei Ki Rotza Bekiyumo. Says Rav Sheshes, it's because the second case is an issue of Rotza Bekiyumo. Right? The Jew, once the guy tells the Jew, can you please wait here? I'm going to sell my Avodah Zarah in order to get money to pay you back. So the Jew is Rotza Bekiyumo. He wants the Avodah Zarah to exist until the guy manages to sell it in order to pay his debt. And therefore, that's an issue. Says the Gemara, wait a second. The Chirotza Bekiyumo, Kagavna Mi Aser? Is that true? That if it be a case of Rotza Bekiyumo, that it would be Aser for the money that the Jew receives? But tonight, I thought we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah teaches us the following. Gerva Ovekachavim, Shiarchu Avin. If you have two brothers, one converted to Yiddishkeit, and the other one is still a guy. And their father was a guy. And now they're coming, their father died and left them in Yerusha, and they're coming to split up the estate. So Ger Vavakam Shiarju Avin, they inherited their father, Ovakam, who's a guy. Ger Yachol Lomerlo, the Jewish convert is able to say to the guy, Tola Tavar Skochavim, you take the Avodah Zarah that our father left us, Vanimos, and I'm going to take the cash that he left us. Tola Ta Yain Nesach, you take the Yain Nesach that our father left us, Vanipers, and I'll take the fruit. Now, so the case over there is when they're coming to split it up from the get-go, and he says, before they do anything, he says, that's the deal, you'll take the Avodah Zarah and I'll take the money or the fruit, whatever, so that's fine. But if they already came to the possession of the ger, once they're in his rishus, aser, then it's prohibited. So, wait a second then. What do you see? You see that in the first part of this braisa, where the ger wants the avodah zarah to exist, right? They haven't split up anything yet. He tells his non-Jewish brother, you take the avodah zarah and I'll take the regular stuff floating around the house that's not avodah zarah. So if you were to ask the ger, do you want all the avodah zarah to disappear? He would say, absolutely not, because I want to split up the estate so that my non-Jewish brother takes all the avodah zarah. So you see that Rotsa B'Kiyumo, we wanted to say that Rotsa B'Kiyumo is going to be a problem, but over here it seems to be that Rotsa B'Kiyumo is fine. So Amar Rava Bar Ula, so Rava Bar Ula said, no, Masnisa Ba'avodas Kochavim, HaMeschalekas L'Vishvareha. This Mishnah that we just said is talking about the case of the Ger, is talking about Avodah Zarah that's Meschalekas L'Vishvareha, that can be divided up even when it's broken. In other words, let's say it's a gold, it's an avodah zarah that's made completely out of gold. So even if it's broken up into pieces, the pieces will have value, and they're perfectly fine splitting up whether it's intact or not intact. So he's not Rotsa B'Kiyumo, so it doesn't make a difference to him. That's why there's no issue of Rotsa B'Kiyumo in that case. It's a totally different story. You can't bring a raya that Rotsa B'Kiyumo is much in that case. It's not a case of Rotsa B'Kiyumo. So says the Gemara, okay, well, wait a second. If you remember, the Mishnah gave us two cases. They're splitting up either Avodah Zarah, right? The father left them Avodah Zarah, or he left them Yai Nesach. Tenach Avodah Kochavim, I can understand that makes a lot of sense for the Avodah Zarah. Yai Nesach, may you remember. But what do you consider for Yai Nesach? There's no such thing as Yai Nesach being Mischalakas L'Shvareha. So says Gemara, yeah, there is, but Cheres Hadriani. The case is Cheres Hadriani, like we talked about before, that they used to take earthenware, they used to take clay, and they used to saturate it with wine concentrate, so that all they would have to do is once it would dry out, they would be able to take a piece of this pottery, of this clay that was saturated with wine, put it in some water, and they'd have a good tasting, a flavorful water or some sort of wine. So that's Cheres Hadriani, and that's why even when it's shaykh to be mischalakas l'shvarim, because even if it's broken up, you can use the pieces in order to make wine. So says the Gemara, wait a second, v'alo rotsa b'kiyumo shelo yignovo v'shelo yavdu. What are you talking about? Even if you want to tell me that he doesn't mind it being broken, but he minds it being lost. He wants it to continue to exist. He doesn't want it to be stolen or lost. So Elam Rav Papa. So Rav Papa says Yerusha Zager Ka'amret. You're asking me kashas from the inheritance of a ger. That's your whole kasha. Shana Yerusha Zager. When we're dealing with the inheritance of a ger, it's totally different. The Akilu Barabanan, the Chazal were much more makel. They were much more lenient when it comes to the Yerusha of a ger. Why? Because there's concern that maybe he's going to go back. If it's too hard for him, and he's going to lose all of his money when he becomes a Jew, then maybe he's going to go back to his bad ways. And that's why, in this case, there's greater wiggle room to be makel. In fact, we have a braisa like this. That's specifically that when they're inheriting, that's when we have such kulas. But if they're partners, usher. Then it's prohibited to do such a thing. Okay, so where does this leave us? We started off with the question of the schar that a Jew is receiving for breaking a Yai Nesach barrel and to dispose of the Yai Nesach. Rav Nachman says that that's perfectly fine. There's no issue of, even though there might be Rotsa B'Kiyumo, it's perfectly fine because he's participating in eliminating Tifla. We thought to say that should be okay, and we have a raya from the Braisa about Klaim. The Gemara says that seems to align with Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, no, it doesn't, not necessarily. That's a bit of the Chacham. If it's a bit of the Chachamim, then what's the raya? Then what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is because of Rabbi Yehuda's position that normally you're not allowed to do favors for a guy, but if it's in order to eliminate Tifla, then it's perfectly fine. So Gemara says, no, but still at the end of the day, it could align with Rabbi Akiva, in which case you do see that Makayim is okay if it's a Mutei Tifla. So then there's another question on the table, and that is, what about Demei Avodah Zarah B'Yado V'Kochavim? Is Demei Avodah Zarah B'Yado V'Kochavim Aser Bahana or not? Rav Nachman answers that it is not Aser, it is permitted. And he attempts to bring a raya from the people who came to Rabbi Bar Avuah. Rabbi Bar Avuah advised that that before they convert, they sell off all their property. That they sell at least their Avodah Zarahs. So you see that even if it's the Me'avod Azar, B'yad Avacham, it's permitted, even though he's going to become a Jew later, and he's going to have all this money left over from the sales of Avod Azar, still fine. So Gemara says, no, because maybe he's affecting a proper bitter when he sells. So Gemara says, you're right, there's an alternative raya from the case where a Jew is pressing charges against a guy for the guy to pay up a bill, and so the guy sells an Avod Azar to pay his debt. We say it's fine, as long as he doesn't tell the Jew that I'm selling an Avod Azar in order to pay your debt, it's perfectly fine. So you see this idea that Rotsa B'Kiyumo is perfectly fine. So says So you see that, that when you have Tamei Avodah Zarah, B'yad Avuchim is permitted. So the Gemara says, by the way, what's the difference between the Reish and the Seifa? So Sir of Shesha says, I'll tell you the difference is. The difference is, one's a case of Rotza B'kiyumo. If the guy is telling him, just wait for me to sell my Avodah Zarah and give you money, we said that that's Asur. So that must be because it's Rotza B'kiyumo. So Gemara says, is that really a problem? I thought the Mishnah shows us that even when it's Rotza B'kiyumo, you have a brother, two brothers, a ger and a Ovik Chavim, who are splitting up their father's estate, and their father left them Avodah Zarah and Ya'anesach, all kinds of good things. So the Jew, the recent ger, is able to say to his brother, how about you take the Avodah Zarah and I'll take the non-Avodah Zarah. So that's perfectly fine, as long as it didn't come to his possession yet. So you see that even Rotza B'kiyumo is okay. So Rava Bar Ula says that's not necessarily true, because that Mishnah is discussing a case of Avodah Zarah that's Mischalakas Lefish Vareha. What about the Anesach? The Anesach also could be Mischalakas Lefish Vareha, because it's Chares HaJuyani. So the Gemara says, but you're still Rotza B'kiyumo, because you don't want it to get lost or stolen. So Papa says, no, Yerusha Zager is totally different. Yerusha Zager is Chazal we're much more makel about, because we're nervous that he might go back off the Derech. Okay.